السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آج اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz, and Tasmiyah in Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyad Allah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz states, By the grace of Allah, the Jalsa Salana of Canada is commencing today. By the grace of Allah, each country in the world celebrate their respective Jalsa Salanas. What is the reason for this? The reason is, that having received divine direction from God Almighty, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, initiated this and said for everyone to gather in Qadian for 3 days. The gathering is not so we can celebrate a festival for amusement or festivities or entertainment, nor is it for our worldly pursuits. Nay, in fact, the reason we gather together is to increase our religious knowledge and for us to broaden our understanding. We gather together so we are able to develop our cognizance. What is cognizance? It is to have the knowledge of something and to delve into the depth of its understanding. This is called cognizance. What wisdom did the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wish for us to develop further? He did not wish for this to be developed superficially and for us to claim that because we recite, there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and messenger, therefore we are true Muslims. In fact, having professed belief, we must now advance further in our faith. He said that if we profess that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and messenger, then we must search who is God. And what does he desire from us? What are the rights owed to God Almighty, and how are we to express those? How should we interpret the commandments of God Almighty, and how do we act upon them? We have accepted the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our messenger and the seal of the prophets. Consequently, we must search for those paths by treading upon which we can follow His commandments and practice. How did the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, live his life, and how can we understand what it was? In reply to a question about his life and his being, the answer given by Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha encompasses all the truths. When she said, "Have you not read the Quran?" Whatever is written in the Quran explains every aspect of his life and all of his actions. Thus, in order to understand the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, every believer must ensure they read and understand the Holy Quran. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "The purpose of the Jalsa is to advance further in spirituality. When one attains true wisdom, it should not be for the purpose of satiating the intellect alone. Rather, it should be used as the basis of spiritual advancement as well as progressing in one's actions. If there is no progress in one's spirituality, then the participation in Jalsa is futile." The Promised Messiah further stated, "One benefit of the Jalsa, for which every participant should strive towards, is to familiarize yourself with one another. This connection should not be a temporary one, as is formed by the worldly people. In fact, every Ahmadi should have a relationship of love and brotherhood for his fellow Ahmadi. The connection should be so strong and firm that nothing should be able to come in between it and sever it." He then further elaborated, "You must develop in your righteousness. Amongst the aims of the Jalsa Salana, this is extremely important, without which a believer cannot be deemed to be a true believer. Righteousness is when one uses the knowledge they have gained, the level of spirituality attained, and the bond of love formed with God Almighty and His Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as the beautiful connection that has now developed, for them to now act regularly on it and make it a part of their lives. Thus, these were the reasons for which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, established the Jalsa. And for this reason, he stated for everyone to gather in Qadian for 3 days each year. How blessed were those Jalsas in which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, himself was present and advised personally all those who attended. He would ensure his followers are given moral training and quench their spiritual thirst. The same cannot hold true after the demise of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. That is why the status of a prophet is unique. And the one who appeared in accordance with the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the one who came in subservience to him, and the one sent for the revival of the faith, most certainly has a special status of his own. In the same manner, it is also the blessings of God Almighty that, having received revelation from Him, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave tidings of the second manifestation of God's majesty, and that is for the institution of Khilafat to be established. Through Khilafat Ahmadiyya, the completion of the mission set by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is in motion and in full flow. The scheme of Jalsa Salana is also part of that chain. After the demise of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the institution of Khilafat was established, and for approximately 40 years, the Jalsa Salana took place in Qadian, in the presence of Khilafat. Then, when Khilafat migrated to Pakistan, and once more the Jalsa Salana took place in Rabwa, while at the same time the community expanded to various countries all over the world. Although the centers of the community were being established even before the migration from Qadian, especially in Africa, there were firm Jamaats established there. However, each approaching day, month, and year brought further advancements and strengthening to all communities established outside of Pakistan, to such an extent that on seeing such advancements, the opponents of Ahmadiyya used the government to pass a barbaric law against Ahmadis. Soon after this, the Khalifa of the time was forced to migrate from there, resulting in a vast number of Ahmadis following this migration. When Hazrat Khalifa al-Masih IV, Rahimahullah, emigrated to London, the Jalsa that took place in London transformed greatly and expanded to new levels. The Jalsas of other neighboring countries also transformed, and gradually this progressed to the extent that Jalsas taking place today around the world have another dimension altogether. It is not possible for a large number of Ahmadis to travel to Qadian for the Jalsa, nor is it possible for a large number of Ahmadis to attend the Jalsa where the Khalifa of the time is residing. The manner in which the Jamaat is expanding throughout the world and the rate it is progressing, it is now vital that Jalsas commence in the manner they took place in the time of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in all those countries where the Jamaat is established. He commanded us to gather at least once a year in order to bring internal changes amongst ourselves and for our moral training. Thus, you have all gathered here in order to fulfill this purpose as explained by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and each year you attend to achieve this goal. This year, many of you have gathered especially because the Jamaat has now been established for 50 years. Perhaps some may have a difference of opinion. Nevertheless, some criterion must be adopted. Therefore, setting the criteria as the registration of the Jamaat, 50 years have now elapsed. Otherwise, Ahmadis have perhaps resided here since 1919. Nevertheless, this year the Jamaat is celebrating its 50 years since its official registration in this country. For this reason, Amir Sahib invited me with great zeal and vigour, saying that the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Canada is organizing various functions in connection with the 50-year celebrations. And as a result, he expected a large turnout at this Jalsa as well. Therefore, I should attend. As I mentioned earlier, wherever the Khalifa of the time is present, more people attend. That is why this year, since I have come here, there have been a large number of people attending from other countries, and they are continuing to arrive. Nonetheless, Ahmadis who are residing here are giving special importance to this year. However, every Ahmadi should remember that its importance will only be manifest when the Ahmadis residing in Canada, having believed in Ahmadiyyat, will then fulfill that pledge of allegiance they have formed with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We must fulfill those expectations that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, desired from us. Otherwise, whether it is 50 years or even more than that, what difference will it make? As I mentioned, as a result of the situation in Pakistan, many Ahmadis settled in other countries, and the majority of you have settled here for this very reason. You migrated in search of religious freedom, and as a result, this government has granted you citizenship so that you may freely practice your religion. Therefore, every Ahmadi that resides here, aside from the oath in which they pledge to give precedence to faith over all worldly pursuits, a great responsibility upon them is to fulfill that very purpose for which they migrated. They must tell their descendants of how they lived in Pakistan. And now that those conditions have improved, it is incumbent upon them to obey the commandments of God Almighty and become those who are truly thankful to Him. We must fulfill that oath we took when we pledged allegiance to the promised Messiah. And amongst them, one was that we would accept the governance of the Holy Quran over us and adhere to it. In this day and age, we must ponder over all the complete and comprehensive commandments laid down before us by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Because there is nobody who has understood the teachings and commands of God Almighty and the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, greater than the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Only by adopting the religious injunctions in the manner explained by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and by further pondering over the word of God Almighty, can we illuminate our intellect and strengthen our faith. In this respect, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has advised us on many occasions, and it is vital for us to ensure our knowledge and actions improve. Having accepted our bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance, the promised Messiah wished to see us at a certain level. The purpose of Jalsa is to achieve that very standard. Thus, every Ahmadi must bear this in mind. At this point in time, people have perhaps come to the Jalsa, but are not listening attentively. Some will be tired, and due to the journey, they will be feeling drowsy. I say to them all that whatever I am about to say, they should listen attentively and try their utmost to sit and listen with full alertness and awareness. 30 or 40 minutes is not such a time that one cannot bear. And you will only fulfill the purpose of coming to the Jalsa when you listen to the points I am explaining, then demonstrating those points mentioned by other speakers through your actions. There are many aspects which increase one in their faith and increase in their spirituality. Do not merely take pleasure from the raising of the slogans. In fact, you should endeavor to make it a part of your lives. As I expressed earlier, I will now mention the words of the promised Messiah so that the true message of the promised Messiah can fall upon your ears and enlighten your mind and your hearts, resulting in that spiritual transformation which the promised Messiah desired from us. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "I have told my community countless times not to merely rely on your pledge of allegiance alone. Until you reach the depths of its veracity, you cannot be saved. The one who relies solely on the exterior shell is bereft of forgiveness." Which means, if you will be content at the fact that you have received the shell or skin of a fruit, then this is completely futile, as you have deprived yourself of the actual fruit. Intelligent is he who attempts to obtain the actual fruit, and not just the shell alone. The promised Messiah further states, "If the devotee does not carry out virtuous deeds himself, then the saintly personage of his master can be of no benefit." Which means that once you have entered into the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, and you fail to amend your physical conditions, and you are content at the fact that the person you have accepted is God's messenger, then, although the saintliness of God's prophet is true in its own respect, the devotee will only benefit from that holiness when one's physical actions align with his saintliness. The promised Messiah continues by saying, "If a doctor writes a remedy for an individual, and that person places that in a vault, he will gain no benefit from it, because the benefit can only be drawn from following the prescribed remedy. Obtain the medicine according to the remedy prescribed, or purchase the remedy, and once you follow it as it has been prescribed, Only then will you be able to derive benefit from it. The one who is bereft of the benefit himself, meaning he has obtained the prescription, but failed to gain benefit from it, due to the fact that he did not act upon it himself, nor use the prescription. The Promised Messiah further adds, you should constantly study the book Noah's Ark, and mould yourself according to it. He then states, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, which means, indeed, the one who satiates righteousness truly prospers. In this manner, thousands of thieves, adulterers, wicked, drunkards, evil individuals claim to be followers of the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, are they true followers in reality? Most certainly not. The true followers are those who act upon the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and abide by them with integrity. Then, on another occasion, whilst explaining the different standards of Bayt, Pledge of Allegiance, the Promised Messiah said, similarly, the one who claims to have performed the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, and professes his faith, he should analyze himself and decipher whether he is like the shell or is in fact the inner essence. Until one becomes like the true essence, faith, love, obedience, pledge of allegiance, belief, following and claiming to be an adherent of Islam is not in fact a true follower. Remember, it is absolutely true that in the eyes of God Almighty, aside from the true essence, the outer shell holds no significance. Take heed that not a single soul knows when death will overtake them. However, it is a fact that death is decreed for everyone. Thus, do not be content with mere profession of faith, and do not be pleased. It can never be of any benefit unless one accepts countless deaths upon themselves, and unless one undergoes many changes and transformations, they will never attain the true purpose of humanity. What are these deaths? They are to give precedence to faith over worldly matters. The hustle and bustle of the world is evident before you. At each and every step, especially in these countries, there are worldly distractions to divert one's attention from God's path. You must take heed and shun them. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then states, look at the condition of the world today, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam illustrated through his actions that everything from his life to his death is for God the Almighty. Today there are Muslims spread throughout the world. If any one of them is asked whether they are a Muslim, he replies by saying, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. The goal of the person for whom he recites the kalama, the declaration of faith, was God Almighty. However, this individual lives and dies for the world, up until he draws near to his death, and in the last moments and the last breaths he takes. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further adds, to be content in this manner does not behove a wise person. Once, a Muslim said to a Jew for him to become a Muslim. The Jew replied that he should not be content with the mere fact that you are called a Muslim. The Jew said that I had a son and named him Khalid, the one who lives forever. But he passed away and was buried before nightfall. Therefore, by naming him Khalid, the infant did not live forever. His life was not even long. The Jew said that the child departed on the same day of his birth and I had to bury him in the evening. Hence the Promised Messiah says, seek the true core. Do not be content with mere labels. It is a matter of great shame that one leads the life of a disbeliever despite being called a follower of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So in your daily life, you need to follow the example of the Holy Prophet and cultivate the same values. Once a group of people visited the Promised Messiah and took the oath of allegiance. After the oath, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave them some advice. He said that by taking the oath of allegiance, one does not merely believe that this is a truthful community, and by simply accepting, he will be blessed. He advised them to be pious and God-fearing, and spend this time supplicating to God Almighty. Then he further advised that in the Holy Quran, God Almighty has mentioned the amal-e-saliha, righteous deeds, in conjunction with faith. A righteous deed is the one which does not even have a hint of disarray. Remember, there are certain things that make one's good deeds go to waste. What are these? To exhibit the fact that one carries out good deeds and then flaunts off to others. Vanity is when one feels self-righteous by performing some good deeds and feels excessively proud that they have carried out such a great deed. So many evil deeds and sinful acts can annihilate one's good deeds. A righteous deed is the one which does not even have an iota of injustice, pride, vanity, arrogance, and usurping the rights of others. The Promised Messiah addressed them and said that in the hereafter one will be saved by the virtue of one's righteous deeds. Similarly, in this world, the righteous deeds can save a person. Even if one person in the home adheres to righteous deeds, this can save the entire household. You must understand that if you do not practice righteous deeds, your faith will not benefit you at all. If a doctor gives a prescription, it means that one needs to obtain whatever has been prescribed and use that medication. If one does not take the prescribed medication and simply keeps the prescription safe, what benefit will the plain prescription be to him? The Promised Messiah continued by saying, "Now that you have repented, God wishes to see how you will purify yourself after this repentance. The time is such that God Almighty wishes to demonstrate a distinct difference through righteousness. There are many people who bemoan God, but do not reflect on their own condition. If one faces any loss, it is largely due to the mistakes and errors on the part of the individual themselves. Otherwise, God is benevolent and merciful. If man suffers a loss of some sort, then it is of his own making. It is born out of the atrocities he commits. Otherwise, God Almighty is never cruel. He is indeed most kind and merciful." There are some people who have the understanding about the sin, but there are some who become so prone to vices that they do not even realize what they are doing. It is for this very reason that Allah the Exalted has instructed us to pray for the repentance of sins. We must pray for the repentance of our sins, especially during these days. The ambience of Jalsa is such that when one supplicates frequently, you must recite istighfar constantly. The Promised Messiah states that a person should offer istighfar for every sin, be it obvious or hidden, be it known or unknown. One should offer istighfar for the sins of the hand, feet, tongue, nose, eyes, and every type of sin. These days we must offer the prayer of Hazrat Adam, peace be upon him, which was Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin, which means, "Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if thou forgive us not and have not mercy on us, we shall surely be of the lost." The Promised Messiah says that this prayer has been accepted at the beginning. Since Allah the Exalted taught this prayer, God has accepted this prayer. Do not lead a life of ignorance. This prayer is taught for this very reason, that it will be accepted. So this prayer should be offered with the utmost sincerity. The Promised Messiah says, "Do not lead the life of ignorance." Those people who do not lead the life of ignorance are unlikely to end up in trouble. So this means that if life is not spent in the state of ignorance, then one is unlikely to suffer from trials. No affliction comes without a reason. The Promised Messiah states, I had the divine revelation of this prayer, Rabbi kullu shay'in khadimuka, Rabbi fahfazni wansurni warhamni, which means, O Allah, everything is subservient to you. O my God, protect me, help me, and have mercy on me. This prayer should be offered in abundance. Once in a meeting, Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib requested that the Promised Messiah to give some advice regarding mutual unity and harmony. At this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave some guidance. I will mention a portion of that guidance here. The Promised Messiah said, I have brought 2 points. Firstly, to establish the unity of God, and secondly, to promote love and empathy for each other. Therefore, set such high standards of these that others would find this unconceivable. This is the status that was attained by the companions of the Holy Prophet. To bring people together is like a miracle. Remember that anyone amongst you who does not like for his brother what he likes for himself is not part of my community. The Promised Messiah said, Remember, to remove rancor is the sign of the advent of the Mahdi. Do you think that this sign will not be fulfilled? This means that with the advent of the Mahdi, mutual malice and malevolence will be removed. The Promised Messiah said, Do you think that this sign will not be fulfilled? Indeed, this will be fulfilled. Why do you not show patience? As it is seen in medical matters, that until an illness is eliminated from its root, the disease cannot be cured. With my advent, God willing, a righteous community will be established. What is the reason for mutual grievances? It is miserliness, arrogance and conceit. The Promised Messiah said that this new community will definitely be formed, and great and sincere members will be granted to this community. However, those who cannot control themselves and cannot live with mutual love and harmony, they must remember that they are only short-lived members of my community, unless they act in an exemplary manner. I do not wish to get blamed for the misdeeds of others. Any individual who is the member of my community and does not follow my directions is like the dried branch of a tree. A gardener has no alternative but to cut out the dried-out branch. A dried-out branch sucks the water of the green branches, but does not come back to life. Such branches destroy the green branches alongside them. So be afraid. Those who will not follow my directions will not stay with me for long. Those who promote discord amongst each other, this is a matter of great concern for them as well. As we have accepted the reformer of the age, who has been sent for our reformation, we need to make an effort for this as well. We need to appreciate his directions and follow his commandments. Whilst explaining about humanity, what it actually is, and what are the standards of humanity, and what should be the conduct of a pious person, the Promised Messiah says, The word insan, which is human being, is derived from two unsan. This means someone who has two connections, two relationships. One with Allah the Exalted, and the other is one of sympathy for his fellow human beings. When these two connections are established, then one becomes worthy of being called insan, a human being. This is the essence of being human. The spirit of humanity is to develop two relations. One, to make a bond with God, and second, to fulfill the rights of each other. On doing this, the individual is called a man of wisdom. Until this point is reached, one has nothing. One can claim whatever he wishes, but to God and his angels, this carries no bearing. Then explaining the concept that God Almighty does not prohibit us to engage with business dealings and the tasks of this world, rather God directs us not to be lazy and work hard. However, your objective should not be this world only, but rather to seek the pleasure of God. This should always be remembered. Where we should try to attain the blessings of this world. In the same manner, we must make every effort to attain the blessings of the hereafter. To explain this subject further, the Promised Messiah says that God Almighty has taught us the prayer that Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasana, meaning, our Lord, grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come. In this prayer, this world is mentioned first. But what world? The world where the blessings of the world become the precursor of the blessings of the hereafter. The teachings given in this prayer make it absolutely clear that a pious person should always be mindful of the blessings of the next world when seeking the blessings of this world. The best of this world also mean that a pious person should seek the world in the best manner possible. Seek the world in a way that leads to progress and improvement. So it is not forbidden to seek this world, but this should be done in a way that is good and beneficial, and not by hurting others, by usurping their rights, and by seizing their belongings. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that the manner should be such that does not harm other human beings and cause embarrassment amongst yourselves. Indeed, such a world would be the most blessed. Such blessings of this world would lead to the blessings of the hereafter. People who earn the blessings of the world in this manner, they spend their wealth in the cause of Allah the Almighty for the benefit of His creations and for the cause of His faith. The Promised Messiah continues by saying, only those people enter our Jamaat who accept our teachings as a code of conduct for themselves and try to follow those teachings to the best of their ability. However, those who accept it by merely exclaiming and do not follow the teachings with their actions should remember that Allah intends to make this a distinct Jamaat, and you cannot stay in this fold by merely writing your name down. This means that if someone is not following the teachings through their actions, they cannot stay attached to the Jamaat just by registering as a member. Inevitably, a time will come when such a person will distance himself from the Jamaat. Therefore, mold your actions according to these teachings to the best of your abilities. Actions are like wings, without which man's spiritual flight cannot be possible. Just as the birds need their wings in order to fly, man's actions help him with his spiritual flight. And without actions, he cannot achieve the high objectives God Almighty has intended for him. Birds have an understanding, without which they would not be able to achieve their purpose. For example, the honeybee would not be able to produce honey without this intelligence. Neither would the homing pigeons be able to do what they can. They are trained to carry letters from one place to the other. They have to make use of their intelligence as they have to travel far afield. In the past, homing pigeons were used for mailing letters. Similarly, birds are used for many different purposes
and various other aspects. Therefore, it is important that we must use our intelligence and consider whether our intended action is in accordance with Allah's commandments and aimed for His pleasure. Before any action, one must think if his faith allows him to perform that action, or whether God has permitted it, or if it is even the right thing to do. One should not adopt unjust methods for the mere accumulation of wealth. The Promised Messiah states, once a course of action is weighed up and judged to be the right one, then physical effort is important. One should not be lazy or negligent. but it is imperative to ascertain that the teaching is the correct one. Sometimes, even if the teaching is correct, one is led astray due to one's own error or omission, or due to the mischief or falsehood of another individual. Therefore, one should investigate matters with a clear conscience and an open mind. Whilst explaining the importance of taqwa, righteousness, he states that the very reason he was commissioned was that the field of righteousness was vacant. You should observe righteousness rather than take up arms, which is forbidden. If you observe righteousness, the whole world would stand by you. So observe righteousness. People who drink alcohol, or in whose religion alcohol is an integral part, cannot have any connection with righteousness. They are at war with virtuousness. Thus, our real success will be if our Jamaat is fortunate enough to go to war against evil and make leaps and bounds in the field of righteousness and cleanliness. Nothing can be more effective than this. Look at the contemporary religions of the world. The real objective of upholding righteousness is missing, and worldly affluence is worshipped. The true God is hidden and defamed. But now, God Himself desires that He should be worshipped, and wants the world to recognize Him. Those who treat the world as God cannot put their trust in the true God. The Promised Messiah says, a severe punishment is looming, about which He has given clear warnings, and it shall distinguish clearly between the pure and the filthy. It will be a clear sign of distinction for the pure. It will be granted to you when your hearts are completely purified. If someone pledges his allegiance and verbally affirms to prioritize his faith over all worldly pursuits, but does not hold to his word and promise through his actions, then what does God care for such a person? If one or even 100 such people perish, it would be assumed that they had not brought about the required change in themselves, and that such a person was devoid of the light of truth and understanding, which removes the darkness and grants faith and pleasure to the heart. The state of the world today is alarming in regards to what will become of it. A few days ago, a gentleman said to me that the world is rapidly headed towards disaster. What will become of us? The Promised Messiah has answered this very question in one of his couplets and explained in detail. He says, indeed, there is a blaze, but those who love the wondrous God will all be saved. Thus, the fundamental requirement is for us to develop a strong bond with Allah. And just as we pay our dues towards Allah, we must also pay the dues towards mankind. We should beseech the blessings that are true blessings according to the criteria set by God, and try to avoid sinful acts, the ones that are considered vices by God Almighty, and clearly set out in the Holy Quran. Having professed belief in the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, we should endeavor to strengthen our faith and our actions. These virtues, which are favored by Allah, will lead to our deliverance. Otherwise, 50, 75, or 100-year celebrations for a Jamaat are meaningless without this revolutionary change. These occasions are a cause for celebration for worldly organizations, but not for spiritual movements. If the celebration is on making progress in following Allah's commandments, and there is a resolution to advance further in the future, then since it is an expression of thanksgiving, it is permitted. But if we have stopped our progress toward attaining piety, or perhaps have started to slip backwards, then it is a grave cause for concern. Thus, we should keep in view the Promised Messiah's teachings with regards to following the commandments of God and His Messenger, and reflect on our actions constantly. So that when the 75 years of the Jamaat are completed, we can say that we have fulfilled our promise of giving precedence to faith over all worldly affairs. Not just this alone, in fact, we should be able to say that we are making progress in this regard. May Allah enable us to do so. As I have said before, you should spend these 3 days of Jalsa in prayers and listen attentively to the Jalsa program, which is its true objective. May Allah enable everyone to achieve.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.